last Sunday afternoon, not watching the Super Bowl all that much, but gathering up my tax forms, the receipts, the files, the dates. It's major yuck. But the income tax deadline is now about 2 months off, and it's best to get it done early. There are a host of changes in the tax code, as there are every year. There's the 2% Social Security tax break is done. There's an addition 0.9% Medicare tax and wages. There's a new top tax bracket. There's the phase out of itemized deductions and the personal exemption for upper income types and on and on. It makes your head hurt. Until half past noon, we're going to be taking your calls all about taxes. Maybe not the specific narrow focus issue that you're struggling with, but more broader topics in terms of the tax code and tax questions that you might have. Here's our number. It's 312-981-7200. If you've got a question about taxes, WGN Radio is giving you some free advice, and our expert is, once again, Joe Rosny. Hi, Joe. Good to see you again.
It's great to be here, Bill.
Where's your office?
We're out. Michael Silver & Company's out in Skokie, Illinois. We're right off the 94, off the Edens, at Old Orchard and Harms Road at 5750 Old Orchard.
And what is your website?
www.msco.net.
All right. As we wade into this process, what do we need to know and what do we need to do, whether or not we're having a professional do our taxes?
You want to be careful about what the changes have been. If you want to avoid any nasty letters from Uncle, you want to make sure you at least pick up all the income that from the sources that you incurred this year, different employers, different banks, brokers, what have you. You want to get all that right, pull all the details together. Common thing to do is to look at last year's tax return and see what you did last year and see what you missed.
A lot of people think, hey, I'm having somebody do my taxes. I don't have to do anything. Well, you do. You got to collect
all
that stuff.
You still have to pull the information together, and those of us that put the numbers in the forms for you have to be just as careful or more so.
Yeah, by your signing your signature to that, does that in any way protect the filer from any kind of IRS challenges or...
It doesn't necessarily protect anybody. It says, I'm certifying that everything I know is correct
based on this tax return. This person is
which is the same thing you're signing.
Yeah. Let's start the callers now. Again, 312-981-7200. If you've got a question about taxes, you got to call now. Jeff, you're first up on WGN this afternoon. Go ahead.
Yes, I recently took a sales job, and I would like to know what I should consider is potentially deductible. Ranging from personal use of my car or a portion of my home being used as my home office.
And how about haircuts? Huh? That used to be a deduction.
Used to be. They threw that one out a long time ago. But as far as what's deductible for you for a salesman, I'm assuming you're a salesman who's also an employee of the company.
Yeah.
The first question is whether you're getting reimbursed for your business miles from your employer and whether you are... and for that matter, any of the other expenses, and whether you work at your employer's site. If you're working from home as a salesman, as many salesmen do, yes, you do get a corner of your home that's used exclusively for business. You can deduct certain expenses related to that for a fraction of the gas and the electric and insurance and such, possibly even a depreciation on your home, on a fraction of your home. And there's a new deduction coming up in 2013 where they have a all one-size-fits-all home office deduction of $1,500 flat, up to maximum $1,500 based on the square footage.
But that won't be
till
next year.
That'll be in 2013. 2012, it's got to be exclusive use for the home. As far as any expenses you get, there'll be the unreimbursed employee business expenses. But a reimbursement is usually far better.
There you go, Jeff.
You.
So be sure you're getting reimbursed. That's the option, the better option to take.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you, too. Hi, Rosemary. Welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm an 82-year-old senior. The only thing I get is my Social Security. I do have money. I can take like $10,000 out of the bank a year out of one of these IRAs, and that's it. Now, someone told me I didn't have to file my income tax anymore. Is that true?
Well, it's not a matter of you can take it; you must take because you're over 70 and a half.
I must take it.
And because you've got more than the minimum amount of income, and I'm only counting the IRA that you're taking. You mentioned $10,000.
Okay.
You do have to file The amount will be taxable, but you get your standard deduction and your personal exemption. So I don't see that you're going to be paying a lot of tax, but you still do have to file.
Okay, that's all I was worried about because I don't want to get in any trouble.
No kidding. That was a good question, Rosemary. Thank you for calling in with that.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
What instance does somebody not have to file?
When their income is below, I'll say a certain amount because they're constantly changing those for inflation. Mm-hmm. It's a few thousand dollars, and it varies by your marital status, whether you're single, married, filing jointly, or separate filing and head of household. They all have different levels as to where they have
but
to
you
file.
But you never age out of having to file taxes.
You never age out. It's all based on what income you're taking, what's taxable, what's ordinary. Social Security doesn't count until you have a certain amount of other income.
312-981-7200. If you've got a question for the tax man, here's Margie, who's up next. Hello, Margie, and this is WGN. Hi. You're on.
Hi, thank you. I'm a retired person who's had a heart attack, and normally in the past I've been deducting the miles that I drive to go do my cardiac rehab and to doctor's appointments. Also, I volunteer for Habitat for Humanity and deduct those miles. I want to know if those are still going to be that I'm still going to be able to do that this year, and I'll hang up and listen for your answer.
Those deductions are still there for charitable use, charitable miles that you drive. It's 14 cents a mile in 2012 and 2013. For medical and moving mileage, it's 23 cents in 2012. And they bumped us up a penny for 2013. It's 24 cents a mile.
How do you keep up with this, Joe? Do you just read stuff or do you have to go to seminars? Because these laws are changing every year.
Bill, I have to answer all of the above. We read some more. There's newsletters coming across my desk every day with updates. The best we can usually do is skim the headlines and see which ones are relevant to our taxpayers, our clients, to our constituents, if you will, and read more detail on those.
Well, let's give intern Joe a chance to caught up with the calls. We have every line blinking right now. Joe Rosny is our tax expert. He'll be here for another segment. I won't recommend calling this very moment, but wait a few and then dial us up at 312-981-7200, and then you will be able to have your question answered on the air. I'm Bill Mahler. This is WGN Weekend, talking with Joe Rosny about your questions in terms of taxes for this new year. Brenda, you're next on WGN. Go ahead. Hi, Brenda.
Hi.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay. I own a farm. I'm renting my land out. I bought farm equipment. Am I entitled to write off my farm equipment I bought, tractor, plow, and so forth?
You had mentioned that you rented the farm out, so that you're not the one actually doing the farming anymore, or are you renting the equipment as part of renting the farm?
No. I own a farm. I'm renting the land out. I bought some equipment myself and anyway for my tenant to use.
So there's no agreement that part of their rent goes toward equipment pay down?
No.
So you'll still own the equipment. So basically the bottom line is they get to use your equipment as part of renting the land. And so, yes, you can write off the farm equipment that you purchased. We still have bonus depreciation this year where you can write half off in the year of acquisition, 2012 and 2013. It's gone after 13, and the remainder you can write off over, depending on the type of equipment, 5 or 7 years.
Well, I bought a furniture for $4,000. I got a tractor. I got a plow.
You can write it down.
Yeah, you'll be able to take the half up front and the other half over 5 years.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much. Hey, Bill, tell us about your 1099. We're on WGN. You're like me. I'm a 1099er myself.
Excellent. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm on a 1099. I make less than $600 a year. I'm currently filing jointly with my wife. Can I not file at all with her?
When you're married, you have one. You have to take one of two choices, married filing jointly or married filing separate. It sounds like your situation might be where you're filing with her on your tax return with not much income and her having whatever income she does have would probably result in a lower tax than you filing separately and her filing separately with basically higher tax brackets.
Okay, well, excellent. Thank you for the advice.
All right, that's pretty simple. Darlene, this is WGN, and you're up next with a question. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. My husband always filed our taxes every year, and he passed away this last September. So now it's going to be up to me to take care of all this, and it's all new to me. So when it comes to signing the form, since he's not here and we've always filed jointly, I was concerned with how that'll work out.
Well, if I heard you right, Darlene, you are he died in September of 2012.
Yes.
So that makes you the surviving spouse. So for 2012, you still file a joint return. You sign where you usually sign, and then the executor for his estate, which very well might be you, sign as You sign a surviving spouse, period, on your tax return, and you include all of his income for the 9 months he was with you and all of your income for the whole year. And for next year, you'll be filing single unless you have any qualifying children still in the home.
No, I don't. So,
okay. Next year, you're single.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. That's fair.
Yep. Thanks, Darlene. Who is this? Hey, it's Dwayne. You're on WGN. Dwayne, go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question in regards to filing for a not-for-profit ministry. It's an RV ministry, and so I travel around the country in my personal RV on behalf of the ministry for conventions, exhibits, visiting campground owners, and talking about planting churches in their campgrounds. Is that mileage deductible?
Well, I guess the question becomes, if you've registered your ministry as a not-for-profit organization with the federal government,
yes, we have.
You'd be filing a 990 for the organization. I mentioned earlier to the salesman gentleman that if, as an employee of an organization, or for you, a volunteer for the organization, you can submit back to the organization a reimbursement for your mileage. But failing that, the mileage you said in your personal RV, it regrettably isn't any better than the 24 cents a mile that I mentioned earlier, which I know that's not nearly enough to cover the RV's expenses.
Hey, Dwayne, that's a cool idea. What's the name of your ministry?
It's called RV Churches USA.
Excellent. And you're on the road most of the year?
Yeah, well, not most of the year. We're out there about six months a year. And part of that is to, as I mentioned, go to exhibits and conventions for RVers. Then we display a booth. So obviously there are expenses with staying overnight and maybe 3 or 4 days. I didn't know if all of that is eligible, you know, to be, well, reimbursed, I guess, but whether the ministry then can use that as reimbursement tax deductions.
Well, you might want to consider having the organization own the vehicle. That would make it deduction a lot easier all around.
Uh-huh. Okay. Got it.
Very good.
All right. Thank you very much, guys. Great program this morning.
Thank you, Dwayne. I'm glad you feel so. Michael, you have a question that I think a lot of people would like to be able to think they could do. Tell us about your iPad.
I just have to chuckle out of the block, because first I have to start this off by saying my wife thinks I'm nuts because she doesn't think this is something she can do. She's a sole proprietor, owns her own salon just by herself, and she's considering getting an iPad. And I said, well, the accountant said you need more write-offs, so how about if you put the salon materials application on the phone so you can use it that way? And then also from her vendor, she could get an app update or, like, text updates of sales and stuff like that. And I'm wondering if the iPad is write-offable, I guess.
Yeah, Michael, that's a great question, because at what point does a tool become not just a personal possession but a business tool? So, Joe, I'd love to hear this.
When you're talking about tools like an iPad, like a personal computer, a laptop, any of the above, you're looking at what's the primary purpose for acquiring the equipment and what's the primary use of the equipment. If you use the iPad to play Words with Friends and draw something and occasionally use it for the business, I would say, no, that's not a business asset. If, on the other hand, you're using the applications to do the ordering, to do the updates in what's going on in the industry. Actually, I was at a restaurant rather recently where they had an iPad hooked into their cash drawer, and that was the cash register.
He has to be able to demonstrate that, too.
You have
right?
to be able to demonstrate
that. You can't just
say,
I'm using it for business expense. They need to see, what, receipts, some kind of physical evidence?
Some kind of physical evidence, and computers are great at leaving their own trail. You look at what software is loaded. And some computers, you can even see how often this application is used versus another as to whether you turn that application on.
sure. The guy that she has her software, the gentleman that wrote the software, it's a small business software. She uses it on a Mac, but unfortunately he hasn't written for the iPad yet, and he's about to do that. He said, I'll be a year away or so. So she's kind of like, well, maybe you can write it off at that point, but not now, I don't think.
It's all a function of how she uses it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I appreciate the help and great show. Thanks again.
You bet. Thank you, Michael. Hi, Mark. Welcome to WGN. You're on the air.
Hi. I got a quick question. I am recently divorced. I have two kids, but I'm on work disability through work. Would I have to file for that?
When you're getting disability income is a whole different animal. I'm sorry?
Workman's comp.
Workman's comp. Workman's comp generally tends to be not taxable, but I need to know a lot more to tell you with certainty on that one. It's a function of what kind of plan do you have, how does the plan operate, and so on and so forth.
I didn't have to file last year, but the situation this year is I actually have two kids to claim.
Well, claiming the kids, you certainly don't want to forget about that possibility because there is a child tax credit that they preserved with the new tax law. It can be up to $1,000 a child for the kids under 14. And so you really want to take a look and do the calculations and see how much of that you can get. There is a portion of those credits for the children that can be refundable, but that's a function of how much earned income you have during the year. So you definitely want to look at that.
Thanks, Mark.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
Hi, Karen. This is WGN. Hi. Tell us about your eBay question.
I sell briefly on eBay. I just started, and I've only sold maybe like $500 of items this year, more like household and clothing items. But because I'm selling out of state, what kind of tax liability? Should I be charging tax on these sales? Do I have to file any kind of tax on the tax returns?
Well, the question, the first question is on the sales tax side is whether you're actually doing this for a business. Sounds like you're trying to get that started, or if you're just using it to empty the house of the things you don't want, what I'll call the occasional sale. Illinois has an occasional sale exemption. You don't have to pay sales tax on selling the odd thing out of your house. If it turns into a business, you have to collect sales tax on any shipments. You're in Illinois, so any shipments that you ship to Illinois customers. But anything you ship out of state would not be taxable by Illinois, and the other states can't hold you responsible for collecting tax where you aren't yourself doing business.
How did you define whether or not you're a business? You have to be incorporated?
Whether you're incorporated is actually secondary and isn't controlling. But if you're really trying to operate as a business, and if this was Karen's Treasures or something like that, and you put a name on it as a business and treat it like a business, I guess that's the best way to look at it, then it's a business. And if you're selling regularly, it's no longer an occasional sale. So you want to keep an eye on that part of it. On the income tax side, you've got to keep good records on your inventory as well as what you've sold, because at some point you want to be able to report your profit. This is what I sold it for. This is what it cost me. The net is my profit. And then from there, I take all of my out-of-pocket
business
expenses.
Keep it a hobby, Karen. Whew. All right. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Thanks for helping.
Yeah, boy. All right, Joe, give us your vitals again, the name of the business and website and address.
We are Michael Silver & Company at 5750 Old Orchard Road in Skokie, Illinois. And the website is www.msco.net. And my email address, if you want to send questions after today, is joer@msco.net.